Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to the CFBHuddle.com podcast. This is an independent podcast that could not exist without your support. So your subscriptions on iTunes, ratings, reviews, and just streaming right here on CFBHuddle.com are all greatly appreciated. If you haven't yet checked out the previous episode, which includes some interviews from the USC spring game, you can do so either in the iTunes archive or on the podcast page here at CFBHuddle.com. Now, as the season approaches, this podcast will only get bigger and better. At least, that's the optimist view that I'm taking, keeping in the spirit of this particular time of year, springtime, when rosy outlooks rule college football. Spring football practices are now nearing their end, which means a three-month void until the next major milestone on our road to the college football season, which are the media days in July. Filling 3 months with speculation and pontification, debates and arguments of all sorts, without any sort of actual tangible evidence to really support our theories, can be a little bit of a challenge. But then again, on the flip side, it's kind of fun to have these baseless debates right now because there's nothing to disprove these theories. Every single team in college football right now is undefeated, and just about every coach really lauds how his team's done over these 15 spring practices. I say just about every coach because, of course, there are those exceptions like Rich Rod, who, no matter what, will downplay his team's performance, maybe playing things close to the chest. But nevertheless, most coaches, you'll hear them say, we avoided injury, we practice really well, we look great, can't wait for the fall. Now, how many coaches actually mean that? Tough to get a 100% accurate gauge on. But everybody has that hope for a successful season. Some programs have especially lofty ambitions as they get ready for summer and then heading into the fall. Our last podcast focused on one such team with very high ambitions for the 2015 season, the USC Trojans, a program looking to get back onto that winning level that they reached in the 2000s when they were competing for national championships and had a 7-year stranglehold on the conference title. This week, we focused on another team in a similar situation, albeit one facing a longer drought in terms of what they're trying to snap this season. And for those of us who grew up in the 90s, it's a program that we associate with winning at the highest level, even though it's been close to 20 years, less than a decade since their last conference championship game appearance. But of course, I'm talking about the Tennessee Volunteers, who that particular bright shade of orange and the power T. Those of us who started watching football in the 90s and earlier, we associate that with winning. If you first got started with college football in the 2000s, Tennessee had its ups and downs until the 2008 campaign, which of course was the last under Phil Fulmer, when they vastly fell shy of expectations. So this year, with expectations returning to that Tennessee level in Butch Jones' third season, you can understand both excitement and trepidation coming out of Knoxville. Now, my guest today is Reed Carringer of RockyTopInsider.com, a premier resource for all things Tennessee football. He knows the illustrious history of the Vols better than anybody. And for those of us like myself who equate UT with winning, it's rather staggering to realize that it's been 8 whole years since their last SEC championship game appearance. A lot of experts are picking the Vols to snap that streak this season, win the SEC East, and maybe, who knows, with the right breaks, compete for a spot in the college football playoff. Now, of course, as I mentioned, Tennessee's struggles date back to that last SEC championship game appearance, starting with the very next season in 08. And then what followed for the next half decade or so really was just a calamity of errors, where we had Lane Kiffin come in for one season, abandoned the Vols after a really mediocre campaign, but did leave Tennessee with a lasting legacy of NCAA sanctions. Then Tennessee made one of the most confounding hires of recent memory, taking Derek Dooley after a very short and not all that spectacular run at Louisiana Tech. Certainly Derek Dooley didn't have the success of his two successors at Louisiana Tech, Sonny Dykes and currently Skip Holtz. Nevertheless, Derek Dooley came into Tennessee, failed to recruit very well, and certainly the product on the field was not up to the Tennessee level. He left after 3 very rocky seasons, no pun intended, and in comes Butch Jones, a guy who had done well at Central Michigan and Cincinnati, both stops where he followed Brian Kelly, now at Notre Dame, of course. Butch Jones has got things going back in a positive direction, doing the number one thing that Derek Dooley failed to by really hitting the recruiting trail hard. Now, when Butch Jones came into Tennessee, he really touted a philosophy, brick by brick was his catchphrase. And I think that that's really a pretty accurate one in describing how they were going to have to rebuild Tennessee, where every single commitment was huge. Every little step in getting Tennessee back to being a national football power was an incremental but necessary step. This wasn't going to be a quick fix. Now, I say that in year three, we're talking about them potentially winning the SEC East. So are we getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with the Tennessee love? Obviously, Georgia is going to be very good once again this season and will certainly be in that mix. As Gary Pinkel's proven at Missouri, you can't overlook the Tigers, even though folks tend to every year. Florida is going to be a tough case with Jim McElwain coming in his first season, the cupboard being a little bit bare with Will Muschamp leaving things not in the best of shape. But, you know, the Gators have an unbelievably talented defense, and defense can win championships. And we'll see what the old ball coach has got going at South Carolina. So the SEC East is going to be very competitive, very tough division. Tennessee's not going to have any sort of cakewalk to getting back to that level. And quite frankly, is this the year? Maybe we're putting things ahead of schedule. Maybe 2016 is more the Vols' year. Now, Reed will give us some insight into whether or not we should start setting those plans to maybe go out to Atlanta and see Tennessee in action come December for the SEC Championship game. We'll jump into that, as well as star running back Jalen Hurd coming off a monster freshman season, one of those key pieces in Butch Jones's brick-by-brick philosophy. Also talk about Joshua Dobbs, who finished 2014, on a nice high heading into 2015. Joshua Dobbs was actually on the Paul Feinbaum show this past week. You can tell he was very prepared with his answers, and one of the things he mentioned was getting the opportunity to maybe pick former Vol Peyton Manning's head a little bit. So we'll see how much getting some insight from one of the all-time great Tennessee players helped Joshua Dobbs this offseason. And of course, we'll also talk about Alvin Kamara, the running back joining Jalen Hurd in the Tennessee backfield. Spent some time at Alabama, was a highly regarded prospect there. And finally, get a little bit of sense on the Oklahoma-Tennessee matchup, which really is one of the most exciting of the non-conference slate, and one that I think will give us some insight into just where the Tennessee Vols can expect to finish in the 2015 campaign. So without further ado, we'll jump into my talk with Reed Carringer, RockyTopInsider.com, as well as the outstanding Football Time in Tennessee preseason magazine. I recommend you check out both the website and the magazine. The website every day updated with fantastic Tennessee Volunteers information. So whether or not you're a fan of the SEC, Tennessee could be a factor on the national landscape, so you're going to want to keep tabs on them this season. Without further ado, let's jump into that interview. All right, and we're back with Reed Carringer from Rocky Top Insider, as I mentioned, the premier resource for Tennessee Volunteers football. Reed, thank you so much for taking some time out of your weekend to discuss the SEC. Three whole weeks, or not weeks, I wish it was weeks, three whole months out from media days.
Yeah, it's crazy how I think the season is upon us, though. I mean, you mentioned media days, July coming up. It'll be here before we know it. Everybody's in spring wrap-up mode right now. I think everybody across the country is trying to get healthy and get ready for fall camps to kick off in August. But I tell you what, media days in Birmingham, be here before we know it.
And now you mentioned the springtime, guys getting healthy right now, and this kind of being the last milestone before that media days. Coming off Tennessee's spring game on Saturday, what's kind of the general buzz around the volunteer football program for the 2015 season right now?
I think it's been mostly positive. Guys have been, you mentioned the injuries, banged up. Lots of Tennessee starters out for the spring or in non-contact jerseys. And now some of those guys, if they had a game to play this spring, I think would have been able to play and probably would have played. But kind of some preventative things, getting some injuries that guys played through last season fixed in the offseason. This is the time to do it. So I think, you know, injuries a little bit of a concern, but as of right now, nobody on Tennessee's roster, none of the stars that have been out or limited, are expected to miss any time in fall camp. So I think even though spring was sort of a walking wounded out there, everybody's really optimistic about getting those guys back for fall camp, getting another, you know, top five class on campus, getting the rest of it on campus there in August. So really a lot of positivity this spring around the program. This is the first time in Butch Jones's tenure that he's had kind of the guy at quarterback in spring decided in Joshua Dobbs. So I think that's one of the reasons fans are excited, is They've got a quarterback. They've got a clear leader, and that always bodes well heading into the fall.
And now, you mentioned Josh Dobbs, and I heard him on Paul Feinbaum's show on Friday. And he mentioned Peyton Manning kind of poking in for the spring game, and obviously that's the quintessential Tennessee quarterback. But what does Josh Dobbs need to do to make this team a viable contender in the SEC?
Yeah, you know, last year he didn't have his weaknesses. I know fans were sort of clamoring at Bush, why didn't you play him earlier after he burst off the scene against Alabama and kept Tennessee in that game, got them back in that game, and then engineered just a really near miraculous comeback at South Carolina the week after that. So, but he had some weaknesses last year. He struggled to complete the ball between the sideline and the dash there, kind of the deep ball down the boundary. Couldn't complete that with regularity, struggled with his accuracy at times. And I think he's improved in those areas, that he can make more throws than he could make last year. And we saw that early in spring practice, so I think that's a good sign. His arm looks stronger. He's definitely more accurate, more confident. I got some fundamental things with his footwork and his arm worked out. So, you know, as good as he was last year, I think he's going to have a lot more of the playbook at his disposal this year, and that's really important for Tennessee's success, obviously. So I expect big things from Joshua Dobbs. He's looked way better than any Tennessee quarterback as a recent past. I think this spring, much, much bigger arm than I think than Vol fans saw from him last year. And what he has to do for Tennessee to have a successful year is keep building on those things, but most importantly, stay healthy. Because if he gets hurt, that's going to be a rough, rough year on Rocky Top. I like some of the true freshmen, but they are true freshmen that Tennessee has behind Joshua Dobbs. But as long as he's on the field, and with the roster that Tennessee has around him, I think Tennessee's going to have a shot to put up points on just about anybody this season.
Now, with Joshua Dobbs kind of being the headline guy to a certain extent, I feel like Tennessee's getting real hype for the first time since the 2008 season. Are they embracing that role, or are they kind of trying to downplay expectations?
Yeah, you know, we really haven't heard anybody on the team or on the coaching staff directly address the hype train around Tennessee football yet. Last year, I think it was fall camp, but Jones directly addressed the expectations for the season by saying that he wanted to make a bowl and to win that bowl game. Kind of that was the goal for the program last year. Sort of unlike Butch Jones, he's king of the coach speak, not necessarily king of saying something definitive like that. So a little bit surprised to see that. So I'm wondering how if he's going to make some statement like that this year. What's the goal for the program? Is it to compete in the SEC East? Is it to head into the last couple games on that SEC schedule, you know, in the hunt, not eliminated yet for the SEC East crown? Is it to get to Atlanta, you know, and win the SEC East crown or what? But, you know, haven't heard the players directly address that. Haven't heard Butch Jones or the coaching staff directly address that. And I doubt they will, but if they do, I think it'll be later after the whole team gets healthy and the whole class gets here in August for fall camp.
Now, the fact that there are some outside expectations, and I mentioned for the first time really since before the 2008 season, and that year obviously was historic for how poorly it ended up going. Is there a level of trepidation based on that fact that now that there are starting to be some expectations built up under Butch Jones, there's kind of that cautious feeling of maybe like, yeah, we've got the guys, but we need to wait and see?
I think there is, at least among the fan base, because on the field, you know, you mentioned the guys, the talent level is definitely going to be better than it's been in recent years. It's definitely going to be better than it was last year when Tennessee went 7-6. So you think you're going to see improvement from a win and loss total. The Vols were within one possession of every SEC East team last year. You know, they were close to perhaps winning the SEC East last season, so the potential's clearly there, but they got to get over that hump. Butch Jones at Tennessee, 1-3 as a head coach when he's a home favorite against SEC teams. You know, I think that's something the fans point to of when the pressure's been kind of high on this team. You look at the Florida game last year, a 10-9 loss at home. The team's not really performed up to expectations, and then some of that has to fall on the youth, but some of it definitely has to fall on the coaching staff as well. So I think there is maybe some quiet optimism among the fan base. I know some national guys are are really on Tennessee to win the SEC East. I don't think anybody that covers the team directly, like I do, is picking Tennessee, at least right now, to win the SEC East at this point. Because we've seen some of that. We've seen some of that trepidation among fans, and we've seen some of those roster concerns as well. And have seen really this team in big games not quite play up to par and let the pressure get to them. So they've got to get over that hump this year for sure to reach expectations for most fans and analysts alike.
Now, they'll have a chance to get over the hump in one marquee game right away. I think one of the best non-conference games of this season when Oklahoma comes to town. And the best part for me personally is that it's not in the Georgia Dome. It's not in Jerry World. It's not on the Millennium Falcon orbiting Earth. It's actually a true college football home game. How big is that Oklahoma game just for the outlook of Tennessee's season in 2015, but also maybe kind of as a barometer of where Butch Jones has the program going long term?
I think it's huge. That early season schedule is really rough for Tennessee. I think you're going to find out a ton about this team and its immediate potential for the 2015 season. In that Oklahoma game, Oklahoma team that really struggled down the stretch last year, a team that many people think Tennessee should beat in Neyland Stadium. And you've got early games against Florida and Georgia, too. And that's a Florida team you lost to by 1 point last year, a team that is probably going to be worse this year, even under a new head coach in McElwain down there in Gainesville. And so if you think Florida's going to be worse, Tennessee's going to be better. You've got to think Tennessee maybe should win that game, even though it's in the swamp. But then Georgia's a team for the last 3 years, it's been a one-possession game between Tennessee and the Bulldogs. And even though I think they're probably the presumed SEC East favorite for a lot of people, that game is in Knoxville. So it all really starts, though, with that game you mentioned for the Sooners with Oklahoma. It's going to be big non-conference matchup, like you said. The Vols got blown out really in Norman last year, but did show some signs of being competitive with them. I think this is going to be a drastically different team with Joshua Dobbs at quarterback than the one led by Justin Worley that went into Norman last year. So all fans are expecting a win, I can tell you that, for that game. And really, those three games I mentioned, that's going to make or break Tennessee season. You got to think they need to probably go 2-1 against Oklahoma, Florida, and Georgia to really get off to the start that I think a lot of fans are expecting this fall.
Now, with that Oklahoma game, obviously it's going to be a showdown of two great running backs where you've got Samaje Perine with Oklahoma and Jalen Hurd with Tennessee, who, as far as the recruits that Butch Jones has brought in, and that's really sort of been his trademark so far, is that those recruiting classes. And I feel like Jalen Hurd's probably the number one guy. You think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think so. When he committed to Tennessee, I think it was around the SEC tournament time. I was in Nashville, which is the part of the state where he's from, mid-state area there, and it was just huge for Vol fans. It was huge to get that sort of elite running back. And that they struggled with that, honestly, for years to get those elite running back prospects. And you had one that was in-state with offers from all the college football powers, and I think that was when Tennessee fans were like, hey, this Butch Jones guy maybe knows what he's doing. They could probably recruit. Then last year, you know, Hurd had a really successful year, about 1,200 total yards from scrimmage as a true freshman behind a not very good offensive line. So definitely Jalen Hurd beloved among Vol fan circles, and lots of expectations for him this season.
Now, with Jalen Hurd, at least here from a national perspective, where I'm out in California, and obviously my exposure to the SEC isn't the same as being within that footprint, I feel like he's getting a little bit less love than some of the other running backs in the conference, specifically Leonard Fournette, Derrick Henry, and Nick Chubb. What does he need to do to be in that conversation as being one of the best backs, not just in the SEC, but all of college football?
Yeah, I think he's taken some steps toward that this offseason. I think I was so impressed covering the team last year with Hurd. When he came in, first three, four, five practices, I thought, wow, this guy, you know, you could tell he's got a lot of potential, but he runs way too high. That was the knock on him, maybe too tall to be a running back at the college football level. And he just improved really quickly and has really worked in his craft to get better. He's gotten bigger since last season. He's somehow gotten faster, too, quicker. He's running lower, doing things that he just could not do last season. So as good as he was last year, you know, over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, like I said, I think he's bound to have an even bigger year this year, especially with probably what has to be a better offensive line, at least, for Tennessee, and with Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback, to take some pressure off them. So I think at least in the offseason, he's done some of those things he needs to do to be in that conversation with Chubb, Henry, and Fournette with his just size, getting bigger, getting quicker. But I think it's just Tennessee's offense may be tough for him, at least from a national perception standpoint, to get to that point where he's putting up some of those numbers, because those guys are all the guy carrying the football for those teams. And Hurd's going to be the number one back at Tennessee, but Joshua Dobbs is going to get a lot of carries too. And so I think that's going to eat into maybe some of his numbers from a prolific standpoint. And then Alvin Kamara, JUCO, you know, number one JUCO player in the country, according to some people, is on Rocky Top right now and looked fantastic this spring. So I think Hurd's going to have to share the load some, maybe more than some people expect. So I think he's going to have a lot better year, but does he put up the numbers to put him in those conversations with Hurd, Henry, and Fournette, or excuse me, Chubb, Henry, and Fournette? I just don't know if he will because of Tennessee's offense.
Now, I want to go back to Alvin Kamara, because that's a guy who's been really intriguing this offseason. A lot of publicity for him, obviously being one of the plethora of running backs that Nick Saban has signed in his time in Alabama, but couldn't necessarily find the field with guys like Derrick Henry in the mix. And his spring, obviously, was getting a lot of publicity. Associated Press had a really nice story on him last week. But then in the spring game, I think I read that he averaged 1.9 yards per carry. Is that any sort of reason to have any kind of trepidation about his year?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. So I don't want to just brush it off, because that's obviously not a great number. And then Hurd came in and just tore it up. Even though he was in a non-contact jersey, he looked really quick. But I've seen enough from Kamara, I think, just this spring and some 5-11-on-11 drills. I think the first scrimmage we saw this spring, he took the second play, kind of a stretch handoff that somebody you mentioned earlier, Peyton Manning in the Indianapolis Colts, made famous back when he was at Indy, and kind of a stretch handoff. He took it outside, set up his blockers great, made Brian Randolph, who I think is one of the better safeties in the SEC, just completely whiff and took it for about 40-plus yards. So that's sort of what we've seen from him this spring is, a bunch of speed, really good instincts, good vision, just super, 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 super quick on his feet. So I think he's going to be a nice complement to Jalen Hurd. And in the spring game, Kamara had been a little banged up the last couple of weeks. In fact, he missed a handful of spring practices with a kind of a deep thigh bruise. So maybe injuries would be a bigger concern, but I'm not concerned about his production if he's healthy this fall. I think he's going to be right there, honestly, with perhaps with some of those guys that we just talked about, that Chubb, Hurd, Henry, and Fournette, Morris, he honestly has that potential.
Now, there's obviously a lot to be excited about with Tennessee this season, with Jalen Hurd, Alvin Kamara, Joshua Dobbs. Kind of transitioning a little bit to what's been sort of the glaring negative of the offseason is the number of arrests that there have been. How much internal concern has there been with the coaching staff and with the guys on the field, you know, who obviously are doing the right things and not getting in trouble? Do you see kind of a little bit of concern coming from them?
Yeah, that's been the talk of the last couple of days after the Von Pearson news, somebody who's projected to have start for Tennessee at wide receiver, being a suspect in a sexual assault allegation. That runs that number up pretty high in the last few half year or so for Tennessee. I don't know, honestly, how big of a concern it is internally. I do know it's a pretty big concern locally. It's not a good look for your football program, that's for sure. And I think I will say this, Butch Jones, he's only had one player that he recruited be accused of something like that, and that is Von Pearson, who we just mentioned. Other guys were people that he didn't recruit. I think he's done a lot of good things, honestly, from the culture of this program, from the kids he recruits to structurally. They have speakers come in and talk about manhood and behaving like men and sexual assault and things like that weekly to the team during spring's practice, during kind of organized team activities, things like that. So I think he's done a lot of things structurally to kind of help combat some of those perception problems that are maybe cropping up on a national level. At the same time, I think there's some things he could do better. He has suspended guys as soon as they've been involved in anything like this. He's done all the right things on that end. But having, I think, six players now is a count off of last year's roster that have been accused of some sort of sexual assault, whether charges were brought or not against them. That's a really high number. So I think that he's going to continue to turn up. And I think it is a concern definitely among media here locally, fans here locally. And Butch Jones spent a lot of time after the Orange and White game sort of combating that perception that, hey, Tennessee has a culture problem. Spent a lot of time after the Orange and White game talking about that and how that's just not true. So I think he's feeling the pressure a little bit too, just based on his comments there on Saturday.
Now, transitioning gears a little bit, getting ready to wrap up, I'm going to name a couple of names and a couple of teams, and I want you to give me the very first thing that pops into your mind here. So this is completely unrehearsed. I didn't give you these ahead of time. So,
word association type.
Yes, we're going word association to finish, and I'm going to start it off big with Lane Kiffin.
Smug.
That's good. All right, now Georgia Bulldogs.
Underachieving.
Florida Gators.
Oh, they beat Tennessee. I don't know if that word, but they beat Tennessee. It seems like no matter how good or bad they are.
Bob Stoops.
SEC hater.
And now lastly, this one doesn't have to be one word, but the 2015 Tennessee Vols.
A lot of pressure. I think it's going to be a telling year. Is Tennessee's team kind of live up to the hype, live up to some of the pressure? This is the first year, I think, Kyle, in really a long time, that they're going to be going in to just about every game, if not on equal footing, just right there. You know, they could conceivably beat every single team on their schedule, and that's just not been the case for a long time on Rocky Top. So I think with that increased talent level, with that comes a lot of expectations. And so we're going to see this young team, if they can live up to some of those expectations. We're going to see if Butch Jones and that coaching staff can consistently beat some of the big dogs in the SEC and win some of those high-pressure games, because we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen anything to say that they can't. I just don't know that we've seen anything to say that they can either. So maybe if I had to pick one word, it would just be expectations. They're going to loom large over this team, I think, all year. And that Oklahoma game, going back to something we discussed earlier, really big for kind of the direction of this program and the pulse of the fan base early in the season this fall.
That wraps it up for our podcast today. I want to thank Reed once again for joining me. And you can check him out on his fantastic website, RockyTopInsider.com. Tremendous staff over there and really the quintessential resource for all things Tennessee. What can fans and readers expect from you guys for the upcoming weeks and months as we get ready for media days?
That's a spring recap, obviously, in the coming weeks or so. Lots of recruiting coverage. We'll start building a database of kind of 2015 commits, targets, 2016 commits, or 17 commits and targets as well. It's all free. Check it out, RockyTopInsider.com. Basketball recruiting news as well. Also cover hoops there on the site. And I have our daily podcast posted there as well. Some videos. No matter how you like your info on the Vols, we got you covered.
And when will Football Time in Tennessee be hitting newsstands this year?
Well, I've been working on it today, so going through the final proofing process, hoping to launch the cover here in the next few days, and we got to send it off to the printer hopefully in the next few days as well. So probably, you know, we're a couple weeks out, so early May is when it should be available on newsstands and then available for online order as well.
And I also highly recommend checking that out. I want to thank Reed once again, and want to thank you for listening.